Amen. Happy Palm Sunday. So, we see Jesus going into Jerusalem. Now, this is not the first time he'd been to Jerusalem, but there was something different about this trip this time. And I'd like us to trail Jesus on his way from Jericho to Jerusalem. Now, why was he heading to Jerusalem this time? Any clues? Anybody know? Why was he heading to Jerusalem this time? Passover, yes. Yes, that's, I like that, Passover, yes. What's significant about Passover for the Jews? What does it remind them of? Coming out of Egypt, coming out of slavery, coming out of oppression. And what does it mean for us? Okay, you'll find out on Good Friday. Just joking. So Jesus was going to Jerusalem. And we call this week the week of his passion, Holy Week, because we start from Palm Sunday and we end on Easter Sunday. It's like coming from one mountain to another mountain, going through the valley. So Jesus was heading towards Jerusalem because he knew it was time for him to die. And like a sheep being led to the slaughter, he slowly made his way to the place where he'll be crucified. So, next slide, please. Just to give us a kind of graphic understanding of the terrain which he had to go through. So you can see Jerusalem, which is kind of on a hill. In the Bible, another name for Jerusalem was Mount Zion. Mount Zion, and it's about 2,500 feet. And then, if you follow the winding road, you see Jericho is 800 feet below sea level. So it's quite really, really low. And on the way from Jericho to Jerusalem, there are two villages which were mentioned in the reading Leslie brought to us, Bethany and Bethphage. Bethphage. So just to put that in our minds as I begin to talk so that we understand that journey from Jericho to Jerusalem. So next slide, please. Because of the light, you can't really see, but that's the kind of terrain he had to go through. So it's like an ascent. You're going from a very low place, and you're climbing up to a very, very high place. And you're going meandering through the hills and all that. So the next slide, let's start with Jericho. Jericho. When you hear Jericho, the first thing that comes to mind is the walls of Jericho, yes. The walls of Jericho. The first port of entry in the Promised Land. The first port of entry in the Promised Land. Now, according to history, it's the oldest city to ever be inhabited. Some dated back as 10,000 BC. So it's the oldest city ever to be inhabited. Jericho means so many things. It means fragrance because it was a place where lots of flowers and fruits were grown. So it had a fragrant atmosphere to it. It was called the City of the Moon because over time they gave themselves to idol worship. And it was also known as a place of chaos. It was in Jericho Jesus met with Zacchaeus. Remember Zacchaeus? Or Zacchaeus, however you want to pronounce that. I think Americans say Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. Now, the Jews hated tax collectors. Do you know why? Because they saw them as traitors. there were Jews working for the Roman government and collecting money from them and paying it to the Roman government and making something of it as well. So they saw them as the worst sinners. Remember the parable Jesus told of the publican or the Pharisee and the tax collector. The publican stands in the temple and says, "Lord, I pay my tithe. I attend services twice or thrice a week," and stating all his spiritual accomplishments. And the tax collector came and said, "Forgive me, for I am a terrible sinner." So they saw tax collectors as the worst. You know, they are sinners and they're the worst sinners. But it was also in Jericho Jesus told the parable of the miners, which is similar to the parable of the talents. In the parable of the talents, the master calls three of his servants and gives them substance according to their ability. 1-5, 1-2, 1-1. But in the parable of the miners, he calls 10 servants and gives them the same, one miner each. And the equivalent of a miner was 3 months' wages. Which, if you know biblical numerology, that is significant. The number three is significant. Because Jesus rose from the dead after 3 days. Jesus was in Jerusalem after he entered, and they were at the temple site. And they were saying, "Oh, look at the temple." And Jesus said, "Destroy this temple, and after 2 days, I'll raise it up." That means on the third day, I'll raise it up. And they were like, "How can you destroy the temple that was, it took about 40-something years to build?" Because they did not understand he was talking about this temple himself. So three is quite significant. So when he was telling them the story of the miners, he was saying a nobleman called his servants because he was going away to a far country where he'll be made king and he will return. And when he returns, he will ask his servants, "What did you do with what I gave you?" And he was going to go for 3 months because the miner was to cover them for the period he was away for. So that means he'll go, and after 3 months, he'll come back. So Jesus told that story in Jericho. Another thing notable about Jericho is the story of the Good Samaritan. He starts off from Jerusalem and ends up in Jericho. If you're familiar with the story, from a high place to a very low place. And on the way down, what happened? Thieves ambush this man and leave him for dead. In so many ways, there are so many interpretations of that parable. One of it is that it shows how we fell as humanity from a place, a high place, to a very, very low place. From a place of peace to a place of chaos. So Jesus decided to start his journey from a very low place. Symbolic of how far we had fallen as human beings. Associating with the worst sinners. Telling the story of those who were unfaithful with what they had been given. Jesus was saying, "This is the worst that it could ever be, and I'm going to start from that place." Starts from Jericho. And then he proceeds from Jericho through two villages. Bethany, and Bethphage. Beth in Hebrew means house. I think it's the second letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Alpha, Beta. I think that's something. No, that's Greek. But it's Beth. I know it's Beth. So Bethany means house of poverty. It has about several meanings. House of poverty, house of misery. Remember Jesus' very close friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. They lived in Bethany. It was the place Lazarus was raised from the dead. Another meaning of Bethany means the house of busyness. Who was busy in Bethany when Jesus visited? Martha. The house of business. It also means the house of affliction. Lazarus was ill, and then he died. So Jesus went through Bethany. It was also the place that lady came and anointed his feet with oil. She broke her alabaster box, which was very expensive. And according to Jesus, she was preparing him for what? Burial. So what she was doing was symbolic of what he'll be done, because when they bury people in those days, they would anoint your body with spices and with things to preserve the body, and then wrap it up like a mummy. So Jesus says, she's preparing me for burial. The house of misery, the house of poverty, Bethany was a representation of humanity without a relationship with God. Where there's misery, where there's affliction, where we are busy, really busy, but missing out on the important thing which Jesus told Martha. What about Bethphage? Bethphage simply means, just one meaning, house of unripe figs. And isn't it interesting that it was at Bethphage Jesus cursed the fig tree? After he got into Jerusalem and they went back to Bethany, the following day on their way back from Bethany to Jerusalem, they saw the tree that Jesus cursed. Isn't that interesting? Who do you think Bethphage represents? Those who think they had a covenant with God. Israel. So, humanity, from a place of the lowest of the low, divided into two houses. Go check it from Genesis. There was a lineage that went the other way and a lineage that went God's way. And God's intention was that Israel will bring people back to him. Will bring people back into covenant with him. But Israel failed like everyone else. So Jesus, from the lowest place, identified also with the two houses humanity has split into, Bethany and Bethphage. It was at Bethphage that he also asked them to get a donkey. The donkey he rode into Jerusalem. He said this donkey had never been ridden before. Hi, Joe. This donkey had never been ridden before. Now, if you want to go on a horse on a donkey that's never been ridden before, what can you expect? Sorry? Yeah! It's just going to go and toss you off. Because it's never been ridden before. But it was a symbol of Israel. A donkey meant for the king, but never ridden before. And tied up. They were tied up in their religion. They were tied up in their form of godliness. They thought they had the big, they thought they had it made. We are the ones, the chosen ones. But they were just like that wild donkey, that unridden donkey, tied. And Jesus said to his disciples, when you get to the street called Straight, and they ask you, what do you want to do with this donkey? Say what? The Lord has need of it. The owner, that's what Lord means. Landlord, landowner. The owner wants to use them. And the donkey came and submitted itself. Another picture to Israel. Submit yourself. So Jesus goes through all that from the lowest place, identifying with humanity at its basest, recognizing the houses in which we've split. Now comes to, next slide, Jerusalem. Salem is a variant of the word shalom, and Salem means peace, wholeness, completeness. That was where God intended for us to be. So Jesus said, I'm taking you from the basest to the highest. I'm taking what split you into two houses and make it one in God. Jerusalem means the foundation of peace. It also means the possession of peace. Now, if you're a king and you want to make a statement, and you're going into a territory, what would you prefer to ride on? Horse or donkey? Why horse? Yeah, because it's faster, yeah. But it's a sign of power. It's majestic. That's why even in Shrek, donkey wanted to be a horse. It's majestic. It's a symbol of strength. You don't come as a king on a donkey. Except donkeys were ridden to show peace. If a king ever rides on a donkey, it means I come in peace. So Jesus was coming into Jerusalem and saying, I come in peace. Bless you. One more. Bless you. Bless you. He says, I come in peace. I do not come to make war. Because they thought he was coming to upset the Roman Empire. That's what they were celebrating. Because Hosanna means save us. Save us from Rome. Hosanna. Save us. Look, we'll put our cloaks down. We'll take palm fronds, which is a symbol of victory, is a symbol of triumph, but it's also a symbol of peace. But they thought, this is victory. Finally, we're coming out under Rome. We're coming out of Roman oppression. Hosanna! And we're like, let's celebrate our Messiah. But Jesus knew why he was there. He knew he wasn't there just to deliver them from the oppression of Rome. He was there to deliver them from the oppression that sin had brought humanity into. He had come as a peace offering between us and God. He is the foundation of peace. He is the foundation of peace. So he'd come to establish and bring God and humanity back into relationship, into Jerusalem. That was his intention. But the Pharisees were mad. They wanted to kill him. How dare he? How dare he? But Jesus came for peace. And then the children and the disciples started singing an interesting song. Blessed be the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Hang on. When Jesus was born, it was peace on earth. But here, they're saying peace in heaven. Does heaven need peace? The word peace here is a Greek word, Irene. Is anybody called Irene here? It just meant, finally, God is no longer mad with us. Finally, he's going to prosper us. Because they thought being under Rome meant that they were in God's bad books. So finally, we're going to have an open heaven. Favor. Jubilee. They were right, but they were wrong. They were right because, yes, it was time for favor. It was time for grace. But they were wrong because they thought it was just about Israel. So the triumphal entry for us has significant ramifications because Jesus came and took us from the lowest of the lows to the highest of the highest. He came and brought what seemingly divided us into two houses like we have in Parliament, and he brought us back into one and made us one with God, because that's what peace is, one with God. Atonement happened at his death. So that is the triumph. That is why we sing Hosanna. Not just because he will save us, but because he has saved us. He has rescued us. Our palms are a sign of his victory. That's why they're shaped like a cross. It's victory for us. The God of peace crushes Satan under his feet. Hallelujah! Hosanna! That is what it means for us. So whether you're from Israel or whether you're from Antarctica, you're one in God. It's a new covenant. Hosanna.